How's that?
The easy part. The
short part.
Yeah, the easy. You need your stool now?
I started to bring one actually today.
Yeah. I know we got three ordinances, right, involved. Being we have and we're running at our normal pace behind, would it be wiser to move the water source water ordinance up first? Would that be Hal?
I'll be here, but it's not me.
Right. First, and then, you know, that way, if it runs through, if we do break for a few, like a 1 o'clock, it doesn't leave everybody hanging out dry, for lack of better words. So if nobody has any of that, we'll go ahead and move that. Dave, would you like to take some, to start
sure.
lead? Or?
Sure, yeah. Since last week's public hearing,
Why don't we just as a matter of protocol,
okay,
make a motion we move item number three in the ordinances to item number one, the source water protection.
Okay.
Second.
We move to second that we amend the agenda, source water ordinance, move it to number one instead of number three. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Dukes?
Yes.
Mr. Roger?
Yes.
Yes, motion passed. Okay. Now we're legal, all right?
Okay. Since last week, when we held the public hearing for the source water ordinance, there were a couple issues that were raised, and we tried to help provide some, tried to answer some of those concerns. And one of the issues was a concern regarding a possibility of requiring easements for wellhead protection areas. And what we found is that the wellhead protection areas are not actually delineated until the well is drilled. It's not possible to say if a private water company or a city is going to drill a new well, we don't really know exactly where that wellhead protection area will be. The state doesn't until the well is drilled. So until that would be after the water company invests in the well. So we didn't feel that it would be practical to be able to require that the water company provide an easement on the wellhead protection area after the well is drilled. But there is a possibility that it could be required for certain areas, such as 500 feet, whatever, just as a general rule. But in discussions with Mr. Barnt and Mr. Rambo from the DENRAC, one of the things that we discussed was the possibility of deleting the section that actually pertains to the five-year time of travel that is in the current proposed ordinance. And there's actually two sections, 89.6C1 and 89.6D2, that would take those references out, and it is my understanding that the and Mr. Rambo's here today, but it's my understanding that they would not have a problem with that in terms of those two sections. The state actually sets where the wellhead protection area is, not the county or not, you know, that's a state process, and the state already requires for the larger wells a five-year time of travel and delineating the wellhead protection area. So
that would take out the five-year time of travel and the unconfined and the 60-day and the confined. Is that correct?
Yes. So those were two items. And then the other concern was from Mr. Burdett, and I have copies of this. He had a number of suggestions that we reviewed, and we did not have problems with these. Some of these are housekeeping type.
Yeah, they're not all incorporated. If you want me to go through those. I incorporated his first suggestion, but there's several reasons why we don't need to incorporate others. I'll give you Mr. Burdett's comments so you can follow that while we're talking about it.
I got it somewhere.
not do it, we're taking it out completely.
Everybody got a copy of that?
I'm shooting the bull down here, just a second.
You need more?
Got enough.
How many?
No, we got enough.
Okay.
We're good, thanks.
Right at the top, where it says 15, he recommended adding a couple of words, and I, on that first short list that was handed out, we incorporated that suggestion. It just says excluding structures related to the well, water distribution, or water treatment. We had stated that those structures were permitted in other parts of the ordinance, but I don't have a problem with adding it in the definitions. The other thing he suggested adding in the definitions, which were not incorporated into my proposed suggestions, were allowing multimodal paths, biking paths, walking trails, golf cart paths in the 30-foot forested buffer. I think if you're going to do that, you're going to probably cut the size of the buffer down considerably instead of maybe 30 feet of possible plantings, you're going to get maybe 15 to 20. And maybe Mr. Lank could address that if you would like him to.
We're in the safe zone.
In the safe?
Right.
Run that by me again.
He's saying that in the safe zone.
Right.
You want to address that, Mr. Lank?
Commission's had a problem with some of the properties where we're trying to apply the 30-foot forested buffer. And if with the spacing requirements for within the 30-foot, with the size of tree that they propose, typically you need the 10-foot spacing from row to row, and you're really not going to get but two rows of trees to get the spacing so that the trees don't overgrow each other, mm-hmm. to get some kind of reasonable design. So if you put a 10-foot buffer or a 10-foot golf cart path or trail down the center of the buffer, you're taking away from that ability to create the buffer.
Can't have it both ways.
Right.
But this is mainly pertaining to the safe zone source water.
I'm just speaking on behalf of the buffers. Depending on where the property is as far as where they place the well site.
So even if we said that in a safe zone, if we added the golf carts and walking trails would be permitted as long as it's still not in a buffer.
Right.
In other words, so it's still would this wording override our buffer legislation? A buffer should establish the buffer, and then when you do this, they ought to be separate.
But the buffer has.
And if there is a conflict, which one wins out? Should be the buffer.
Well, I mean, right? If you're saying.
But the buffer hadn't even passed
you're
yet.
Saying
right, you're, I'm just saying
that. You're allowed
getting
these
the cart,
things.
The cart before the horse.
No, we're not. We have a buffer requirement now.
Yeah, but it's 30.
It's not as specific. And it is 30 feet.
Get with the
program. It's still 30 feet, but it doesn't talk about what it does and all that kind of description.
It requires, requires the landscaping and forest, but it doesn't describe it as we do.
What he's saying has a lot of merit. My question is, if we have the well and a buffer conflicting, doesn't a buffer take precedent over?
If that's the way you worded it, it would. But since we're going to be encouraging and hoping that people who put down these wells locate them so that they don't affect adjoining properties.
It says that.
If it's outside the buffer, they've got to have this then the safe zone could overlap the buffer. I mean, depending on where they put the well.
Well, I don't mind the safe zone overlapping the buffer. It's just when they want to try to put in the biking pass, like he's saying, and all they don't have the buffer.
He's saying that these things should be allowed in the safe zone without regard to where the safe zone is. So it's kind of a mixed bag. I mean,
yeah, that's what I'm trying to just straighten it out, make it so it's clear.
Carl is going to have to put the well out in the middle of the development. And historically, they put them in the back corner, as you know.
Everybody puts everything in the back corner. Pretty soon, the dumpster, the well, and the walking paths will all be in the same spot.
I think that could be a little hard.
You can wash them out that way.
You can walk around a dumpster in the buffer.
Absolutely. And you've got many subdivisions
where...
Don't
have to put a fence up to screen it.
You've got many... And this is applying to major subdivisions. You've got many subdivisions that don't want four-wheel vehicles, such as golf carts running through there for traffic and safety reasons. So You can certainly do what you want. I just don't think it really adds anything to the ordinance. It complicates the wording of it.
In other words, you're saying, you're recommending we don't touch that. Just the highlighted area.
That's my recommendation.
The highlighted part here, don't even include it.
Let's ask. Mr. Cole, will you, yes, no?
Well, I kind of concur with that. I think I'd like to keep things as simple and clear-cut as possible, and this does muddle the things. I'm agreeing with the attorney.
I would like to add that we did run that by DENREC, that they did not have concerns on it.
Right, but that's not their issue. They don't care about that. Right, right.
But Mr. Phillips?
I don't have strong feelings about it.
Beg your pardon?
I don't have strong feelings either way about it.
Okay. Mr. Dukes?
I can go either way.
Then down on 89.6 at the or 89-6, the two bottom things. He's saying to include the words combination of tax, multiple tax parcels. We've already got that. If you look at the definition for land development in 89-4, definition number 10.
89-4?
That's not on here, right?
Oh, look at the ordinance itself.
It's out front, this description page.
The ordinance itself has a definition of land development, and it says it includes multiple tax parcels if those are included in the land development. So I think
we're covered there.
We've already covered that. The one at the top of the next page is to the same effect. The second one at the top of the next page is to the same effect.
All right.
And then 89-8, he was suggesting adding a paragraph that says what you see there, requiring the engineering department within 45 days to come up with policies and procedures, and having a period of 18 months from the adoption of the ordinance, where you further refine the ordinance to modify it to include submission procedures. He's basically saying, tell us every detail you're going to use to administer this and incorporate it as a part of the ordinance. Mm-hmm. And that typically is left up to government to decide how to administer the ordinance.
And then we do that through a policy.
Well, policies typically are developed, but they're not always set forth in every detail in the ordinance.
Okay.
Right. His problem is that he wants to kind of make sure we get our act together if we're going to pass this thing through engineering. I guess it comes through you.
Instead of policies, you have guidelines in the ordinance.
Yeah, but speaking for the engineering department, we weren't necessarily aware we were going to be the implementing agency for this, because right now we don't see every application that comes through. But if we are, we need to coordinate with Lawrence's group and establish some sort of procedure where there's a screening and then there's a verdict to us that we review. I think that's the way it's going to have to work, and I think it might take more than 45 days to work out those details, because I don't even have a person assigned to this yet. But maybe 60 days. And then even the procedures, I'm not sure that they should be in the ordinance itself, because that way if you ever have to tinker with it, or even if you want to streamline it, or...
You got to go back to the ordinance and reapply. Yeah, right, right.
You don't want to get us involved.
So the recommendation I'm sensing is we should strike this.
Well, it's not part of it.
Not part of it, but it should be something,
right.
That we need to look at.
Strike his suggestion, I'm saying.
And the last thing on 89-13, he's suggesting that there be a 60-day period after you approve this, before this ordinance could be enforced.
Would that give staff time to maybe coordinate their, once we adopt it or whatever?
That or bump it out some more.
And
I'm 60 probably enough.
It's my understanding that, my understanding that DENREC didn't have a problem with that.
Go 90? Because,
whatever.
Yeah.
Well, Mike just said he'd prefer having 90.
I'd rather give him a cushion that way.
Okay.
So we would add that part in. Will not come law for 90 days.
And then the other thing, we would strike the two provisions that have the 5-year time of travel and the 60-day time of travel. So, in summary, you've added the language. You're doing what's on the very short thing that was passed down first, and on the.
I wouldn't. I don't.
the things that were suggested by Mr. Burdette, you're approving that, adding that paragraph E to 89-8, but changing the days. You're adding 89-13 on the effective date, but delaying it 90 days instead of 60 days if you approve these suggested revisions. All of these revisions are less strict than the ordinance as written, so I think you could do that without having to go back to a public hearing.
And Denrec doesn't have any problem with any of these suggestions, these changes?
Mr. Baker says not.
In your conversations, we have not, they are okay with it.
Okay, so we got something. Okay, so we got something now we can.
He's here today also.
Okay, so make the one change. Is there a consensus then? We do that one change of 90 days? And the other one was the.
Adding the related structures into the definition, and then striking the 5-year time of travel and the 60-day time of travel.
To roll on this one sheet except for the 90 days.
Okay, well, how can somebody put it?
Are we going to get a clean copy before we vote, or is that?
Yes, quite here, Mr.
You don't need it, but if you want to see it, then you don't vote today. We'll do it later.
Based on the first part of the conversation where we talked about the forested buffer, do you want to allow the multimodal pass, biking pass, walking trails, golf cart pass to be allowed in designated portions of the safe zone? We could add, except in areas designated as a required forest or landscape buffer. That would solve my problem with the impact on the buffers. Does that work?
Depends on what council wants.
No, I'm just saying that, but that sounds like that seems to resolve.
Is there a consensus that it's a good suggestion?
Yes. I think right. You ought to have a little flexibility there. I mean, like I said, if the homeowners association don't want the go-karts or whatever, they're going to...
I was trying to protect my forest.
The FBI out
it's
there.
Not so much a golf cart, it's a walking path. Whether they're walking or riding on it, it's the path into that buffer that ruins the buffer.
Well, he's trying to protect it.
Well, right. He's trying to protect, and I agree with that.
I really think that since you're not going to have those in the buffer itself, they're just not going to happen. Because otherwise, to have them, they're going to give up space where units could go. So I don't think.
But if you give them an option, it's not our call, right? It's their call to lay it out if they want, right? Because if they don't do it, they can't do it. If we don't, at least in the safe zone, they wouldn't be able
to. All right, well, what do we do today on this? What's the consensus today? Do we vote on it with those changes? Or do we want to see it in?
I like to see it. I mean, because like I said, it, you know.
Is there a consensus then to see it, as the president says, to have it in a complete form?
Clean form.
I'll make that motion. Yeah. We defer.
Can I ask a question? Yeah. Are you deleting this 89-8 that Mike was talking about? The
45 day? 89 what, Rob?
We're doing it with the number of days before it is implemented.
We're striking that
and going to 90.
Right, that's the last one. The right. One
that's 89-13.
You're not including that.
89-18. We are including.
I got enough papers on this bad boy here. Wait a minute, let me separate them.
No, at 89-6.
But it doesn't look like they're actually doing anything today other than delaying the vote.
Let's just, yeah, you can work that out later, right? I'll make a motion we defer.
Robin, what one are you asking about? I finally found the right paper.
In 89-8 that he would need more than 45 days.
Correct. We're down at, that's 89-13. We're striking all of 89-8.
Change
not the ordinance.
That's what I'm doing now.
Right. 89-8 is not in there. Right. We're not adding it. But on 89-13, Mike referenced 90 days as opposed to 60 days.
Correct. Right.
You're taking all of 89-8 out?
It's not in. Dale, it's not in. We're not putting it in.
We're doing the effective date.
The suggestion that we just went through that was recommended, we don't do it.
The whole section, 89-8, is going to be deleted.
It's not in it. Okay. It's not going to be added.
Right. That was the consensus. Well, that.
I know what they told me. And 89-6-1 is deleted. And 89-6-1 is deleted.
89-6-1 is deleted.
Or 62. I think they got it. Let's just defer and let them put it back into a form. I think we got it.
And 89-6-D-2, is that deleted?
Yes.
Okay.
So you've asked me to come up with a clean copy that incorporates these suggestions and somehow underlines them or italicizes them to show what you're thinking
about. Because everything is new that we're looking at, it has to be underlined if you can just comment.
Well, that's only when you're preparing the ordinance. Okay. This is just an amendment to the ordinance. But I'll set it, I'll in some way distinguish the language that you're thinking about changing.
Thank you.
Could I ask you get it to us a week before the next meeting that we consider this?
Right.
Don't need to be looking at it for the first time on the morning of.
Right.
Okay.
We'll just wait until we get it and then we'll put
defer.
It back on.
Defer with no time frame in it.
Okay. Well, wait a minute. Yep.
We'll certainly do that. It's not going to be on next week then, I'm assuming. Okay.
But you can get it done this afternoon.
Need to vote?
Yes.
Okay. So moved and second that we defer action and wait for a clean copy. Any questions? Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Dukes?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Yes, motion passed.
Hopefully, Mr. Rambo, you don't have to come back anymore.
Hopefully. Hey. Well, you don't have to come back anyway. If you don't want to, there won't be room. But.
Yeah. Make it better.
Yeah. Hang on a minute, Lawrence. Let me shift gears here. We killed enough trees that we could put a forestry buffer in with this thing.
Now we got recycled buckets in our rooms now.
I know.
We're going to make trees.
Okay.
We almost did this one last week, didn't
we? We
almost did it.
I wasn't here last week, so I missed the discussion.
Two weeks. Yeah. We didn't want you to miss all the fun.
The next item under old business is an ordinance to repeal Chapter 80. Relating to lot maintenance and to amend Chapter 115 Zoning, Article 25, Section 115-191, relating to the parking, storing, and maintenance of vehicles and boats, and prohibited growth and accumulations of non-agricultural lands, waste materials, outside commercial premises, and enforcement methods and the violation and the penalties resulting therefrom. Planning and Zoning Commission held a public hearing on this ordinance on November 8th of 2007, whereby they deferred action. On November 29th, the Commission discussed this ordinance again under old business and again deferred action. January 24th of 2008, the Commission discussed the ordinance amendment. Mr. Burton stated he would move that the Commission recommend denial of the proposed ordinance to repeal Chapter 80 relating to lot maintenance and to amend Chapter 115 relating to parking, storing, and maintenance of vehicles and boats for the following reasons. One, while the purpose of the proposed ordinance makes sense, how it is currently drafted is of concern. Lot maintenance and prohibited growth should be addressed in an ordinance separate from issues relating to parking, storing, and maintenance of vehicles, boats, and trailers. The ordinance concerning vehicles should be separated since many concerns are different from lot maintenance and growth proposals. With some fairly minor revisions, a separate vehicle ordinance should be acted on favorably. An ordinance relating to the parking, storing, and maintenance of vehicles and boats on lots is a good idea. However, council should consider limiting its effect to areas designated under the comprehensive development plan as either developing areas or town centers. And it should only apply to vehicles unregistered for more than 1 year. For the proposed language concerning prohibited growth and accumulations is the same as what previously existed in Chapter 80 of the Code for many years. However, the wording should be clarified. The proposed wording is too broad to distinguish between ornamental grasses or landscaping, and it does not address some growth that may be appropriate for environmental reasons or rural areas of the county that are sparsely populated. As with the ordinance relating to vehicles and boats, perhaps the ordinance should be directed towards developing areas and town centers. There was a motion and a second and carried unanimously to forward this or this ordinance amendment to the council with a recommendation that the ordinance amendment be denied for the reasons stated. And that motion carries 5-0.
Let's move it. Let's see. Is there a consensus to separate this into two ordinances?
May I?
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
It's in one because the existing ordinance is in one.
Right.
And I don't see that it's confusing to have it in one. Certainly you can cover as long as the title indicates that.
Okay.
But could I go through these comments that you've been handed? If I could just run through those real quick.
Yes.
Absolutely.
First, it says, and I prepared these if you're wondering where it came from. It says 115-191C states that no vehicle and or boat or other watercraft shall be situated on any residentially zoned property that is vacant. I think it was Mr. Jones raised the question as to whether this should be modified to allow up to two vehicles or boats that are operable and registered on vacant lots that are larger than 1 acre. And I wrote there that Mr. Lank and I don't see this as a good idea because the vehicles or boats under county policy have always been considered accessory to a dwelling and allowed because there is a dwelling. And if you don't have anything on the lot, you're just creating a situation where the vacant lots can be used to park vehicles, really for a parking lot, even if they are registered. So, but that's your judgment call on that. The second issue is that the commission recommended that the section 115-191C exemptions, that subsection A should include a definition of antique car. And I just said there, since state law presently defines an antique car as a vehicle that is at least 25 years old and is registered as an antique car, that definition already exists, and we could just incorporate that state law definition by reference. To do that, subsection A would just be amended, and the first line would just say that an antique car is defined by 21 Delaware Code, section 2196, or parts thereof, and that would be the only change to the first line. The second, or the third issue, a question was raised the last time we discussed this as to whether the ordinance should only apply to lands defined as town centers or developing area. And I said that's a judgment call for council to make, but should be kept in mind that by doing that, you could be exempting the majority of land area in the county from the terms of the ordinance. Mm-hmm. Keep in mind also that we had complaints of abandoned boats near Broadkill or Prime Hook and in the Oak Orchard areas. I'm not sure if those are town centers or developing areas.
Oak Orchard in an environmentally sensitive developing area. Prime Hook and Broadkill or not.
Okay. Next, a question was raised as to whether to exempt wooded lots from the ordinance. As proposed, section 115-191, page 4 of the ordinance, says that the limitation to two operable and currently registered vehicles or boats applies to lands that are zoned and used for owner-occupied single-family purposes. Under that wording, the owner can have up to two vehicles or boats on an owner-occupied lot, whether it's wooded or cleared. Also, section 115-191C, the terms of the ordinance exempts from and will not apply to a dwelling which is part of and located on a larger tract of land used for bona fide agricultural purposes, which would have the effect of exempting cleared or wooded lots that are part of a farm or from land primarily used for agricultural purposes, which would include lands where the owner lives, grows chickens, grows trees, farm or forest products. If you flatly exempt the ordinance from all wooded lots that are owner-occupied but not part of an agricultural operation, my concern is it would be discriminatory because you would be treating the owners of wooded lots differently from the owners of cleared dwelling lots. If you're concerned about applying the ordinance to larger tracts of land in AR1 zone areas, you could exempt AR1 zone lands of 5 acres or more that are not owner-occupied or used for an agricultural purposes. And I just chose the 5 acres because that's the number of acres we require to approve a conditional use for poultry operations.
Mm-hmm. And that used to be the minimum you could use for a, in the AR district, right?
AR district used, a few years ago, allowed for a manufactured home to be placed on 5 acres.
Right. Single wide. Right.
Single wide or double wide.
And the next thing, at the top of page 2, recommendation of the commission said that the wording of the ordinance regarding prohibited gross or accumulations is essentially the same as the existing ordinance, but they thought it needed to be clarified to distinguish between ornamental grasses or landscaping and should address gross that may be appropriate for environmental reasons. In that regard, section 115, 190, 1D, pages 6 and 7 could be amended as to the exemptions, as I've indicated there. For instance, weeds could be defined to include those included in state law as noxious weeds, but do not include those taller than 12 inches that are planted and maintained as part of a certified backyard wildlife habitat or landscaping plants such as Joe Pieweed, Goldenrod, or those which have a recognized beneficial value to the environment as an attraction to birds or wildlife or which are recognized as commercially available landscaping plants. Shrubs and trees are not included within the definition of weeds or growth controlled by this ordinance. Number 2, grasses does not include ornamental grasses taller than 12 inches which are commercially available, installed as landscaping plants and maintained in an orderly manner. And then number 3, with just the waste material thing, there was, the commission didn't have any comment about that one. The last thing, I think, was Mr. Jones' question whether the fines were too high. There we started, the existing ordinance has fines of $100 a day. In this ordinance, it's the minimum fine for the first convictions, $250, second convictions, $500, third convictions, $1,000, fourth convictions, $2,500. However, please note that in 115-191A on page, or A4 on page 5, the county is required to send a written notice to the owner with a photograph of the violation and describing in that letter the corrective action they need to take. And you have to give them 30 days. But it could be more at the discretion of the Planning and Zoning Office, and I think they would base that time period they cite on the gravity of what they see and what the cleanup might require. If the owner either corrects it or comes within the 30-day period or whatever the day time limit has to be, a minimum of 30 days, but if the owner comes forward to the county and says they're willing to correct it, the county can give him another 30 days, which gives him 60. Further, if the owner signs a written cleanup agreement, Mr. Lank could extend it for a total of 6 months beyond the initial date of, give, of the date of the citation. The purpose of those provisions was to give a means where a cooperative owner could avoid paying any fines. So keep in mind that although the fines are enough to get somebody's attention, there is a way that the owner can
avoid. Can avoid them.
Yeah.
Now then, if the, if somebody after 6 months has still got a problem, hadn't done anything, would the would you then have to start at the first conviction, or would that be the second conviction?
Yeah, be first.
It'll be the first.
Be first.
So the guy says, I'm going to cooperate, and he doesn't cooperate, then at 6 months, the bang. First thousand or $250, if we raise it to that, that doesn't seem too extreme. That means that we have bent over backwards, and the neighbors want to see action, so I think that.
And he had the ability to get up.
But that goes from Mr. Lank's office to the constable's office in between, right? And Lawrence done it. Because the constable is the only one that can.
Well, I don't
really
think Finley, I don't think the concern of the excessive fine then is merited there, because we've given them such, you know, we've bent over backwards for them, and then if they don't do us right, and we've been working with them, I think we ought to then have a good fine structure to really like get their attention. So I can live with the 250 and 500 and.
Well, the existing ordinance states that their fine shall not exceed $100 per day.
Existing
per day,
they could be higher than that,
and then it's really up to the court what the fine is. It's not up to us.
But if you have a minimum, they'll take it.
No, the court will. They don't have to do squat, but they'll take the minimum usually.
Right.
The judge can do anything.
Typically, the fines are less.
Is that correct?
Well, hopefully, the judge will be guided by the wording of our ordinance.
Right.
Hopefully,
it's possible they could give somebody a break that we don't contemplate them giving. But with these type of provisions, where the owner can avoid any fines, we may not have as many situations where you have to go to court.
Right.
Now that we've butchered this thing, for lack of better words, and the original intent, I thought, was to allow the constable to be able to enforce this Is it still there? Because all we've talked about is wooded lots and boats and trailers and all the other crap that we weren't even supposed to even touch. Now, all of a sudden, is the other part there still?
You all told me that you wanted to craft some ideas to incorporate your concerns, and that's what I did.
Absolutely. No, I'm talking way back when we started all this.
Please, anything.
Whatever, 6 months ago or whatever, how long have we been messing with it?
It's the duty of the director or his designee. And that's, in parenthesis, includes the constable's office.
Right.
So it has made the enforcement better from what we have currently.
Right
now, the problem, if you remember, the problems that the constable described to you were vacant lots being junked up with derelict cars and boats, trailers, whatever. That was the real complaint that brought the people from Oak Orchard, brought the constable in saying, I've taken these things to court and they get thrown out because our ordinance is not strong enough. We've made it, as it's now written, we've made it impossible for people to use vacant lots as a storage facility for their vehicles.
And we've also clarified grasses and some of these other things. We've now identified them. We're doing
they've
clear,
been there.
Right?
It's been there since day one. It's just because we screwed around with this thing and they got everybody excited again, so they came out in arms.
It had to go
the
through
grass.
The public hearing process, and we're just responding to the comments of the commission, really.
The difficulty was that Chapter 80, which is a defunct ordinance because it related to transfer station constables, which we don't have any.
Right.
Yeah, and of course, that didn't help when you're trying to enforce it to have the enforcement responsibility assigned to an agency that no longer exists.
Right. Was there any other, let me just ask this, Mr. President, is there any other issues other than what Mr. Griffin has just outlined for us? As Jim has outlined on this submission here. What we ought to do is then go through each one and see where the consensus are, and then get a clean copy of this.
I tried that a couple weeks ago.
I know that, but we were afraid.
But you guys.
No. You got on one topic and you wouldn't let us off it, and we ended up
whining.
We got bogged down. It was going.
But in order to come up with a clean copy, you need to tell me which of these you like. Which
exactly?
Don't.
That's what I said. Right. Start at the first paragraph.
Still in there? Or you got no problem.
First paragraph of Mr. Griffin's.
Well, let's go right through the ordinance. Has anybody got it? Here's a guy, if you want to go through page by page.
No, we just...
No, we don't want to do that.
No, let's just look at what his suggestions here, where he's broken this down. Oh. If there's anything else, then we'll have to go after we get done these.
From what I understand, what Jim prepared was based on what you stated 2 weeks ago,
what you
wanted to look at.
Okay. Let's go through page paragraph one. No, Jim, would you like to stay again and tell us where it is in the ordinance?
Well, the bottom line of this whole thing is you've strengthened the ordinance, but you've really limited the land it's going to cover. There's going to be a lot of property that don't even have anything to do with it.
How's that?
I mean, in some of the rural areas, where they got junk piles, they're not going to go away. Where some of the areas that people want this in the development zones, and also unincorporated.
That's not in this part.
Now, what you've done is you've got an ordinance now that is strong where it applies, but it don't apply everywhere. Like Prime Hook, Broad Hill, they want it. They don't fall under the...
Yeah, they will.
Right now, it applies...
It will. This one.
The county.
It will.
Yeah.
They adopt this...
If you put some of the... If you put some of the Mobile Joe in, and some of this stuff in there, then it will.
Okay. It'll be land in the county.
Right now, it's all the lands. Right now, if we make these changes, this is what we'll get. When we get down to that paragraph, let's address that. Let's do the first.
The first issue in the first paragraph is whether you're going to have this, whether to modify the ordinance to allow vehicles on vacant lots larger than 1 acre.
Right. And it would be under 50, if I'm not mistaken, Jim, and you correct me, 15, you have it there, 15, 115, 191C, is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
That is...
It just says that you can't have any vehicle or boat on a vacant lot, and the reason for that was that the county always considered that the ability of a vehicle was only on lots where there was a dwelling because it was an accessory use.
Okay.
But here, the key here, the word residentially zoned property that is vacant. Now, that would include all their AR lands, right? Because that's all zoned residential?
That's right.
Is that?
Unless it's exempted somewhere else, such as we've exempted agriculture.
Right, okay.
We've exempted residentially zoned land as part of a farm.
Right.
So
now then, well, let's just address that. If everybody, is there a consensus to be comfortable with that first sentence? That first sentence basically says it all, right?
C says no vehicle boat or watercraft should be on that, zone property that is vacant.
Right. In other words,
improved with a dwelling.
Has to be improved. So is everybody, is there a consensus to be comfortable with that sentence and then strike, forget about the acre and you know, anything larger, smaller?
You want to keep C as written. Is that a yes, Mr.?
I think that, yes. I think that we address issues in this county that you have to have an improved property to have, like, sheds and different things and all this other stuff. So I think it's consistent that we don't want to have vacant lots to become future junkyards.
That's a yes. Okay.
So I'll support.
Okay. You support what is how
it is. Zoned resident. Yeah, right. First sentence.
Mr.
I like that.
Well, I can see where people have a double lot. Their house is situated on one, and they're using the other as auxiliary space for their.
So you're saying they could on the one lot, they could have two, and have two more on the other lot, so they have four?
Yeah, I'm saying I don't really see where that's that big a deal. I mean, they've obviously got extra space. It's not all crammed onto one lot. I could just see it, you know, being some circumstances where people have been operating for a long time, utilizing their double lot for, you know, for extra space that they paid for.
Are you saying they could have four?
That's what I am. That's what I said.
Potentially, sure. But it's
that's the problem we had in several locations, right. Was it had four vacant lots. Their house was on one until they ended up with eight vehicles.
I mean, that was done. I'm not crazy. I tend to agree with planning and zoning from there. I think this comprehensive approach is overreaching. I think that, if we're going to do something this extensive, it may make sense to just allow it to apply to the developing district. So many of the problems are in developments that should be governed by their homeowner association covenants, and we're basically trying to step in and do what they should be doing for themselves.
Well, I agree with, there are some problems there, but I think Oak Orchard, you're not looking at subdivisions that were just recently laid out and have restrictions that prevent anything. There aren't, these are just scattered sites in some of these rural areas that have become like rural villages or little small unincorporated areas, and we got problems. And down near the coastal area, there is a lot of problems with vehicles, and I'm sure back in the rural areas, there's a lot of problems with old pickup trucks and old cars. So,
well,
we either you want to address it or you don't, and I think we have to. We've always been where you can't put it on vacant lots, right? It's always been that way.
Again,
pretty much.
We could take a positive incremental step by passing this just in the development districts and the centers, areas that you would kind of expect some higher standards.
So you would support that first sentence in just the development districts?
More than likely, I would.
Okay. All right.
Mr. Luke.
I'm not sure how many complaints we're getting in the AR district. I mean, I thought this ordinance would be all county encompassing, but now you want to modify it to say it would only be in a town center or a development area. So what do you do with Mr. Homeowner, who's got a vacant lot sitting outside and across the road from this subdivision, and he doesn't have a house there yet, and he's got junk vehicles or cars stored on it. He would be exempt?
Yes. Well, anything that would be not in the development district or in the town centers, I guess that's just two different, you know, we're kind of mixing.
On the town center developing area, Mr. Rogers had said before he went outside that he had a constituent who complained about the derelict boat, and the location of that derelict boat was not in a development district or a town center. So,
how about can we address it through this? In the agricultural residential district, Dale, what you're concerned about, right? If it's located in a minor or major subdivision, they shouldn't be permitted. And then maybe we look to, if you're not in a minor or major subdivision, you're just a scattered parcel, that if you have 5 acres, you're exempt. Would that cover it all? So that means in a rural area, that puts it like chicken out.
Because you have a lot of farms in this county, as I said 2 weeks ago, that you fly over that have some graveyards from the past that Denrak's left alone and everybody's left alone.
We're exempting agricultural land for use.
My unincorporated areas are being brought
in. But did you see what I just said? Instead of saying development district.
What he's saying does that.
In other words, every.
Dukes.
I'm trying to clarify with Dale, because Dale's just saying, here's what you guys are saying. I'm saying here.
I mean, I think we need to make the ordinance all county encompassing or vote to.
Well, that would, Dale. In all subdivisions, major and minor.
I live in an AR district, and believe me, I see enough trash and enough junk cars and storage that will never get corrected if we just make it a town center development district.
So would your preferences then countywide?
As it's written.
But what you said does that. Exempt.
Well, that's what I just said. It would exempt anything over 5 acres. It would go countywide.
Exempt anything over 5 acres?
That's not in a major or minor subdivision.
What's Oak Orchard? It's neither.
Oak Orchard's in the environmentally sensitive.
But they're all under 5 acre parcels in there.
If you got junk cars and boats and trash on your lot in Orange County, this ordinance ought to address the correcting
it. Okay, and take that position. That's fine. You want countywide. Okay.
Maybe I'm the only one who feels that way.
No. I'd rather go stronger than weaker.
Well, the existing ordinance is countywide, so this is not taking any broader reach.
Right.
This is countywide that is in four or five of us right now.
But the existing ordinance is also countywide.
But it didn't include vacant lots.
But it did. Exempting agriculture.
You're talking about vacant lots, whether there's cars and boats stored or vacant lots with weeds.
Right now, under the existing ordinance, you can have vehicles on
boats
on vacant lots.
And trailers.
That's part of the issue we're trying to resolve, because the county constable took the person that lives in the Forgotten Mile between Rehoboth and Dewey to court, and he lost because the guy or his mother owned like four lots, and he had an old motor home and boats and vehicles scattered over all
through it. The guy would have got the tarp on the roof.
Let me give you a prime example. Going through Roxana on 20, there's a property there, probably has, I don't know how many used campers and trailers on it. The all I can count with the leaves off the trees now, I can count seven vehicles in there.
How many?
Seven. And they're all full of junk. He's got refrigerators. He's got everything stored in his yard.
It'll be cleaned up again.
We're working on him. We've been working on him, Dale, for 24 years.
That one's already been to court. He was cited. It was totally cleaned up, and he started all over.
He's now passed away, hasn't he?
Passed away now, and the family will clean it up.
I mean, is he in a town center or development district?
No.
Ag district.
I don't think he's in a development district.
But does he have five? How many acres is that parcel? Do you know? Is that a big parcel?
He would be in contempt of court for doing it again.
Wasn't he growing tomatoes in his refrigerator?
I mean, you know, we've got to have an ordinance. If we're going to do anything, we need an ordinance that addresses that issue. If not, let's vote the thing down and get on to lunch. You know, it's.
Right, you're right.
That's the best example and also the worst example of the problem that we have.
But he's already in violation of our current.
Yeah, but we haven't been able to clean it up.
Violation cleaned up by court.
We've had him in court so many times. You know.
Engineer supervised the cleanup.
And we have that's a court system that keeps giving them a break. Is that correct?
The court, yes. he should have been listed as contempt of court by continuing.
Maybe we ought to get our own judge.
But he's since passed away.
Maybe that's the ordinance we better call.
What's his name by the old southern states there that used to be out there? That Paul Short. Paul Short. Paul Short. Who's his name? Paul Short. Not Harry. No, I'm talking
just
about
get a promotion on the county judge.
There you go, Jim. As long as you do what is worth for years.
Laying on the front steps.
Okay, Mr.
It's all cleaned up now, finally.
Mr. Anyway. Rogers.
The only one I know what you want to do on is the first one, and we're leaving that one alone. The second one, are you willing for anti-car to use the definition in state law?
Good.
I don't think anybody.
It's okay.
The third one, are you going to?
I got one 25 years old, but doesn't have an antique tag.
But it's not inoperable or unregistered.
No.
That's what we're trying to get here.
Oh. These are unregistered vehicles.
The next one is whether you're going to limit this to town centers and developing areas.
No.
Okay, the next one was whether.
Now, wait a minute. That's only one. I've got one mildly one down
here. No. Dale just said he wanted it countywide.
Well, I'm just.
Rogers.
I'm a problem hope you include
that's countywide.
I mean, Countywide, you countywide?
I'll go countywide.
Okay. You got three.
Not
that's
in
cool.
The AR.
Keep moving, Jim.
Moving, moving. We got countywide.
Okay.
Okay, the next one was whether to exempt wooded lots.
No.
No. Mr. Phillips?
It's either a yes or no.
I mean, mine's a deal killer on countywide, so it don't matter at this point.
Okay. Okay. Mr. Dukes?
Okay. On wooded lots?
Yeah.
Exempted, no.
Why would you exempt
right.
Wooded lots?
Okay. You all need to know. Mr. Roddy.
He's up.
Okay. That's second. Three on that one.
He's been away. He's been rested. He's got lots of opinions. Thank you, Dale.
Okay, on the second page.
He's got a cold, so don't be pushing it.
On the second page, are you okay with those?
Cole's going to vote for him in November.
Redefinitions. Are you okay with the way we have.
Can be in Florida?
We've revised the exemptions.
You
on
go
the
election time, I'll go budget time.
Wait a minute, Jim. He just carried on.
Go ahead, I'm talking to Dale.
On the second page, we revised the exemptions in the way we talk about things that are exempt.
I'm comfortable with it.
We say weeds don't include those defined as noxious weeds, but don't include any over 12 inches that are part of a backyard habitat, such as Joe Pye, Golden Reed, which have a recognized.
Right, I agree with those three.
Okay.
Mr. Phillips?
I'll pass.
Those were the ones that people complained about.
Mr. Dukes, you all right with the weeds?
We can live with it.
The man from Melford described the weeds, remember?
And Mr. Swan.
Yeah. Well, this covers it.
So you got 12 inches of grass or
we
weeds?
We can panic again, Jordan?
Have it up to 12 inches.
This thing on. We just can't does be this, worried about
if it's over 12 inches, if it's one of
no. Hey,
does this include pastures? It don't include pastures, does it? Pastures are excluded?
Well, the agricultural lands are excluded from the whole ordinance.
Everything.
Right, so it's a five-acre pasture is excluded.
There's a lot of one-acre pastures.
Yeah, but it's... It's not defined as a agricultural.
Well, a stable's permitted on a lot within an agricultural area as long as you meet setback requirements. And you wouldn't use the yard.
That would be agriculture.
No, it wouldn't technically be agriculture, but it's
5 acres.
It's an agricultural type use. I'm just making that point.
Well, if you're going to have a 5-acre pasture, they're probably going to do something with it, either mow it or
well, we had a letter from one of Mr. Jones's constituents was talking about wildlife habitat, and he was supposed to.
That's in here.
Okay.
And number one.
Certified backyard wildlife habitat.
Okay.
So that would be exactly. Okay. Thing, if I'm not mistaken.
Got that covered.
Okay.
I got a letter.
These are pretty good. I think Jim's come up with a pretty good list
buckets.
Here that can be acceptable.
Okay.
And the last one is what to do with the fines, whether you want them $250, $500, $750,000.
You like the original or you like the one?
I will suggest that we go to the $250, $500 because we are giving, as you read the rest of that paragraph, we've given the owners up to 6 months.
That's right.
So if you haven't done anything 6 months, they're not going to do anything, so we need to go back at them. So I can go with the higher fines at $250, $500, et cetera.
Okay. Mr. Phillips?
In the development district and town centers, I probably wouldn't have too much of a problem.
Okay. Dukes?
Well, it's going to be, after 6 months, it's $100.
No, it would come back to the $250 if they don't clean it up within. Well,
and it goes back to the director. He can extend it or set up a deal with them or whatever.
What is under the existing
order? They have right now, Dale, 6 months, and they don't pay a dime.
Okay. The existing is $100 a day, which never happens.
Right.
Never collected.
Yeah.
But the difference is this regulation, the way Jim's written it, it says the minimum shall be.
Right.
Before it said shall not exceed
right.
$100 per day.
Then what I'm
and
saying,
that's per day.
What I'm saying about the 100
bond
is
doesn't
that
say per day.
If you look at the top of page 6, what I've said there, and I'm talking about top of page 6 of the ordinance, it says upon conviction of a violation, the court may order the defendant to correct the violation by a certain date. If the defendant fails to correct the violation by the court-ordered date, the court may impose a fine of not less than $50 per day and no more than $100 per day to be calculated from the date of conviction to the date by which the court is ordered it to be corrected. So we're hoping that the threat of the big fines And the possibility that they can get up to 6 months to take care of it means that you don't have to take people to court. But if
the carrot and stick approach, right?
Yep.
Jim, what governs or regulates the judge from being excessive in the fine? We're putting minimums, but we're not putting a not to exceed.
Here we are.
On the first conviction, it says 250.
250 to five.
Isn't that just the minimum?
Minimum to max. Nor more than 500. Yeah, bottom of five.
It says 250 nor more than five for the first. 500 nor more than 750 for the second.
If you read the, yeah, it's in that word.
There you go. It's in the text of the ordinance, not, okay. And that's just for God.
This is just for discussion, okay.
Right.
Then we put in a provision that if the county wanted to, it gives the county the right to go into court of chancery. Suppose you had a huge junkyard where somebody just keeps getting small fines and doesn't do anything. Under this sub A on the page 6, we could go into court of chancery and try to get an order requiring them to clean it up. And it says if we get an order against a violator, it allows the court to make the person repay the county's attorney's fees and court costs.
Now, while I can support the fine structure here, will be some hardships that will come up that we will have to deal with. And so if someone does not have the money to clean it up with and to correct it, taking them to court and find them another $250 is a waste. I think if we're serious about this, that my suggestion would be put some seed money in an account which they could be drawn from to clean it up. Whether you then
got direct money, no.
Whether you put a lien on their property or do it, but
yeah, why don't we?
Is there hardships that they're not
right? Why, on any hardships, could there be a provision here for under hardships if it's deemed to be a hardship that appeals could be made to the county council?
I think we ought to do something because
we want to hear a bona fide hardship if somebody comes in, or do we want to make appeals could be made to planning zoning director on hardships? Now then, do we need to define hardships?
Well, what would you do if somebody, if they didn't have the money, they wouldn't have the money? Are you going to loan them the money or give them a grant or?
Well, we have a program.
You got a question?
I'll get up there.
We have a program to clean it up.
In the newspapers, almost every publication, there are offers in the newspaper to come get your junk for free. There's one article, one vendor even comes out and appraises old metal, cars, tractors, chairs, lawn furniture, whatever. He'll give you an appraisal, pay you for it, and then haul it away. So I'm not sure that there's going to be a real problem there. Maybe we would...
Trash would be the issue. Trash.
Right, yeah. Right.
But as far as metal items and the junk cars and things we're talking about, I see articles where vendors are offering
right
to come
now,
get it for free.
Up.
Some are even paying you for it.
Right now, metal's up.
But there'll be situations where the junk is so junky, even those guys don't want it, I'll guarantee you. It's not worth hauling. But so anyway, why don't we make an appeal process in this to either the planning and zoning director? He's shaking his head, or to the county council.
You don't want it.
Thank you. We'll do that.
Put it on.
But we need to have some kind of guide.
Let's put it here.
We should, as a policy, not in the ordinance, but we ought to have a policy of what it's on.
The appeal is for hardship cases, limited to those cases where the person cannot pay for the cleanup. Is that correct?
Do we have guidelines for hardship?
I mean, that's something I'd have to try to come up with.
But
what
would be a hardship?
We're going to have things now that in place as far as what guidelines, you know, as far as...
Hardship could be health. The guy's not able or, so, you know, I don't know. There could be a couple guidelines that you could put in for
health. First one in here. I think you have probably more requests.
May I ask a question?
For cutting weeds.
I don't know if you get an answer, but you can certainly
are you? Since you're asking me to try to put something together, are you limiting this ability to come here on a hardship to situations where the person responds and is agreeable to cleaning it up and willing to sign something saying that, but is financially unable to pay for that?
Yeah, that would be probably the best hardship.
Okay, thank you.
Most logical hardship.
We could possibly waive the fines or the extra fees.
Well, if they're willing to clean it up, you're never going to get to the fines.
Right.
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 Okay. Do you have enough now that we want to get a clean copy of this? Have you got a?
I have enough.
Clean.
Make a motion. We defer.
Second. What have you accomplished?
Absolutely not a damn thing.
Hang on, I know we had another thing.
He didn't accomplish lunch.
Yeah, I've tried 2 weeks in a row. I'm getting there closer. Got another piece of paper. Move to second that we defer on this ordinance. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Dukes?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Buffers.
What's the hang up here?
What's the hang up?
Two weeks ago we said we almost ready to vote on it.
And 2 weeks ago, and you didn't want to talk about that one either. You wanted to throw it